See, it's part of the exercise we had done. It's part of a system. The system is awareness to movement or functional integration. There are two broad techniques of my work. And it consists of becoming aware through movement of what we are doing, exactly what we are doing, so that we can do what we want. And you will see, just like you saw in this moment, that people are so trained and wired in by our environment, by our culture, by our parents, by teachers who don't know any better, to limit us to a very minute portion of our ability. Most of the people use about 10% of their ability. Except in one or two little bits where they use a little bit more, otherwise they wouldn't be able to live at all. So every one of us has one part of his personality which is a little bit better than just 10%. Maybe it's 11.5%. And that's good enough. Because most people around are not much better. All of them, none of them, actually live out their lifetime with a feeling, I have lived as well as I wanted to. You'll find that most people, when they come to the age of reason, find that they should have been doing something for themselves which they didn't. Say, I was an accountant all my life, and what did I do? Worked hard to get some money to get on a holiday, and all the rest of the time I did monotonous hard work. I could have been a musician, I could have been a painter, I could have been an athlete, I could have been a skater, I could be a pilot, I could be a painter, could be a musician, could be a mathematician, could be, there are 2,000 different things that one can be. And when you are not the thing that you are best suited for, and the thing that you feel you should be, you find that in the end you waste your life. You actually work only to become old and decrepit. And then you find, what did I do? Even if you are a teacher, I have known physicists who have worked a lifetime and by the end found that they never wanted to be it. They did it because circumstances. I myself was a physicist before I started this business. And I know, you know, many examples in this world. The French famous author Duhamel was a doctor. He was learning all his beginning, learned to be a medical doctor. But as soon as he became independent of the people who made him learn medicine, he became a writer. André Morin is another one. Heinrich Jacobi in Switzerland. Yeah. There are many, many, I can cite you, thousands of people who actually changed their career at the moment they felt that they are independent economically and that they are not enough destroyed in their confidence so that they feel they can start learning at any age. People think that to learn something when you get a little older it's too difficult. I had some of my pupils, one is called Eva Kirchner, just got a letter from her, and she came to me with a back like yours, which surgeons said that she can't live like that. And she had been with me and the back was all right, and she had two daughters married. And then I told her, how are you going to waste the rest of your life as you did up to now? You'll get again your back wrong. because you don't need a good back. What do you need it for? You need some suffering in order not to do what you should do for yourself, not for me. I don't need your bettering. And what did she do? She went and got a BA in psychology, and then she got an MA in psychology again. Then she came here to America and got a doctorate in philosophy, and she's now directing the Adlerian, you know, probably Dreyfus from Chicago, the Adlerian teaching. They have an institute in Israel. She is the leader of the Adlerian Institute in Israel. So that is, you can do it at any age. I myself started learning music at age 65. I never played the piano before, never knew that I could. I thought that I had no musical ear at all. And I found that I did better than any of the students around who were a tenth of my age and were supposed to be musical children. So what? Now, we are going now to start with what we should have started tonight, and that is to see something very, very funny about ourselves. That in order to know ourselves, it is not an easy job unless you get a method whereby you can do it easily. Otherwise, everybody knows that know thyself is the kind of saying that all philosophers, since the world exists, since the cultured world exists, about 10,000 years, they all say, know thyself is the most important thing to do. How do you know thyself? Everybody thinks that he knows himself. But anybody who has tried to undergo an analysis find that he didn't know himself. Anybody who tried Gestalt therapy found that he didn't know himself. Anybody who tried to do anything find that we don't know ourselves. Now, how do we learn to know ourselves? This is actually one of the methods that I propose. The method is become aware of what you're doing through movement. As you can see, through movement, you could see not only that you didn't know how to use your pelvis and the movement of your body, but also you learn to do it in 1 hour. You see the advantage? And that is through movement. If you did it through breathing, you would be breathing yourself asthmatic and you wouldn't improve much. And if you did Tai Chi, it will take you 3 years before you can bend your knees without breaking them. But most of the people I saw doing 3 years Tai Chi, none of them can move yet like you did tonight. So, that's the difference. Now, let us start at the beginning. Where is the beginning? As we are grown up, there can't be a beginning. But there can be a rehearsal of our life. And that is what? Everyone coming to this world, the first thing he does is crying. You know that. If he doesn't cry, you make him cry, because if he doesn't do something with his lungs and mouth after he has had enough training in the uterus for his ears and the mouth and the jaw, which he's actually doing. Now we know that the baby, it's 6 months old, that means in the uterus, is doing actually the movement with the jaw and with the mouth and swallowing this amniotic fluid, and is learning to do the cry that he will do, and that his ears actually begin to listen to what his mouth is doing and the gurgling of the water, and that he can realize the heartbeat of his mother and his own heartbeat, and also that he can understand and realize that the gurgling, the fermentation, or the noise of digestion that his mother makes, or other noises. He is aware of that before he's born. But when he comes to the world, he has suddenly to take knowledge of a world outside the amniotic fluid. And the first contact with the outside world is the mouth. And that is, he takes the breast, the nipple, in his mouth. And that is, if the mother is not dead before, which happened before years, many mothers died giving birth to children. Luckily today, there very few do. Then the baby, the first thing, he will take a nipple in his mouth. Taking a nipple in his mouth makes it that the first contact with the outside world is through the mouth. Therefore, the mouth is one of the most conscious parts of the body. That is the part of which we are conscious more than anything else. Later, the fingers will become the next thing. But the mouth is the most conscious part of ourselves. Now, you will see that the mouth of most people describe their emotional life, their appetites, the way they deal with life and themselves more than anything else. Because watch me doing. Suppose you see somebody, what would you think of a gentleman like, of course, very cheerful, wouldn't he be? And very enterprising and very active. Now, what do you think of an answer like that? You see, it's quite different. Now, you show your teeth now. Look, most people don't. Most people don't show their teeth because they have no idea that laughing means showing your teeth. Laughing means showing that you can bite. Laughing is the part, oh, by the way, you know who found that out? Have you ever read Bergson? Some of you might have. He wrote something, a book about laughter. But there was somebody before him, and that one you certainly know, that was Charles Darwin, who was interested in finding out whether laughter is a learned thing and depends on a culture, or it's belonging to this species and it's inherited. And therefore, wherever he went, he tried to find out which is which. And there's a little book by him called The Expression of Emotions in Men and in Animals, where he studied the question of laughter. And being a thorough sort of gentleman, he took anatomy, found out which are the muscles involved in laughing. And then wherever he went in the Pacific, in the around the islands, especially islands that were 3,000, 4,000 miles away from anybody else, where it was likely that that group of people that lived there had very little contact with others, and therefore he went there and checked whether they laughed like we do, and saw whether the way they laugh is the same as we do. And he found that he did this work as an outside work of the theory of evolution. But he had it in mind wherever he went. And he found that all cultures, no matter where and how, laugh the same way. Now, that was to him a riddle. Why should a Turk laugh like we do? Or a man in Bali, why should he laugh like we do? Why shouldn't, if he is very cheerful, he shouldn't do like a chimpanzee does? Or any other thing. Why should he laugh? That was a riddle to him. That riddle was solved. Yeah, that's what you're doing. That's how it was solved. It was solved in the zoo in London. After 20 years of observation, he went and found a funny sort of thing. It occurred to him when he saw children giving peanuts to apes, gorillas, chimpanzees, and other human apes, anthropoids. And he found a very funny thing. When the children give him their peanuts, any of those apes would take the peanut and, of course, enjoy it. But suddenly, for no reason at all, the gorilla would do and try to catch the child who gave him the peanuts. Catch his hand, the child gets frightened. And Darwin observed that wherever a child laughed when he saw the way the ape ate the peanuts, they laughed. And then when you laughed, the children did, like children can laugh heartily. By the way, I look here and see so many serious faces that you can't learn with such serious faces. Doesn't matter, you may laugh, and there you see what they did. They said that the children laugh, you see, and they showed it laugh. And then look what happens when any animal feels himself attacked and tries to defend himself or tries to attack. But the ape doesn't know that. And he sees laughter, and then he thinks that the child is aggressive. And therefore, he becomes aggressive, trying to defend himself, because he thinks he's attacked. And if you see, Charles Darwin found out that this is what it is. You see, if you stop the intensity of trying to bite and showing your teeth and make yourself dangerous, you're trying to do it. Open your mouth, and like you did, try to laugh, and then just see there's no harm, then you have a smile. And that means laughter is when you prepare for defense or aggression and you find that there's no need to do it. Now, therefore, look, the mouths you see here, nobody shows their teeth, but those who can really laugh. And those who can laugh are less hampered by their aggression. And by the way, we have a lot to say about that, especially when there are a lot of people who do their so many psychology things. Aggression and laughter go together. It means if you can't be aggressive, if your aggressiveness is inhibited, your laughter is an artificial sort of yeah. It's not a laughter. You know, you should laugh. When one laughs, you laugh yourself to tears, and you laugh yourself until your tummy aches. And that can't be done when it's inhibited. And therefore, people who are afraid of their aggressivity, who have been punished for it, and can't do it, can't laugh. Now we are going to see how we can learn to laugh as we did move. You will see that it's almost as easy. But how do you do it? As everybody is inhibited, how can you do it? See, people smile and don't show their teeth. They put even mustaches and beards so that you can't see that they have teeth. And therefore they look serious. Well, that's the one thing. Don't be afraid. You may laugh. That's right. Now, how are we going to do it? We will become aware of what we do. You will see, actually, or maybe I say one word about aggression, because that's the thing that everybody says, what he teaches to be aggressive. That's a bad thing. We are all leftish, Mao Zedong, Trotskyist, and aggression, we only mean bad when somebody else do it, but we might do it quite well. Because some of them have killed Aldo Moro for nothing. And they are Mao Zedong, Trotskyist, and they are against aggression. But to kill somebody in order to get some newspaper advertisement for it, that's not aggression, that's just killing somebody. What's the odds? You can do it. Now, what are you going to do about it? You see, the question is this. Aggression is the gist of life. You cannot bite an apple. Eve had to bite the apple. It means open a mouth with teeth and bite and destroy a beautiful apple. That's aggression. You can't do anything without ingesting. It means eating the meat of a chicken, the meat of an ox, of a cow, of a duck. It's aggression, whether we want it or not. But aggression, without aggression, there is no life possible in this world. The difference is between aggression and violence. See? The people are afraid of violence, and violence is, of course, a very different sort of thing than aggression. But people don't distinguish between it. Just like they don't know that they can move. They mix up violence and aggression, and therefore they are afraid of aggression, but they're actually afraid of violence. But there is enough violence going on in the world with aggression or without aggression. So if you distinguish between the two, differentiate, that aggression is a very good thing, because when everything you do in life is aggressive. If you go and take this place of somebody at the university, you're aggressive. If you go and want something which is nice and you take it away with somebody else, it's aggressive. But how could you live otherwise? How could a lion live without eating the things that he can catch to eat? How could he do otherwise? How could all these... How could a shark not be aggressive? And he is not aggressive. He can't do it otherwise. Therefore, you must distinguish that for the rest of our lives. Make sure that you are aggressive so that you can laugh. Also, and therefore you can be kind to yourself and kind to your neighbor. If you can't do that aggression, means if you can't fend something for yourself without violence, mixing the two together, you cannot laugh, because you will inhibit your aggressiveness, means your ability to act for your own good. And if you can't do it for yourself, who will do it? And therefore, let's see what we can do about it. I intend, not much time left, but we'll do at least some of it. Find out how we could take away that lip expression, that mournful, serious look, which is actually interfering with ourselves to be at our best. Because when we are over attentive and over examining yourself, we must find out that we are inadequate. and therefore you cannot help but finding that you must consider yourself inferior. And in fact, we are inferior. You know to whom? To ourselves, because we use only 10% of our ability. So we're inferior to ourselves. And therefore we must do something about it to gain respect in our own eyes, not in somebody else's. Don't care what you think about me. But in my feeling, I want to have respect for myself. Think that I have the right to exist and that I can do things which are useful to others and to myself. And those I want not to be interfered with and be able to do it. And therefore I must be aggressive. In fact, I must be aggressive. I traveled with the Concorde here in order to gain 2.5 hours. And I was 14 hours delayed for departure. And then the 3 hour, then I hurried to the Concorde to come here. You see, which is idiotic. Well, what do you think I did? I gave the Air France a piece of my mind. And not only to the people there, who is not their fault, but I gave it to the director general. And in fact, instructed my lawyer to ask them to pay me for the delay and for the trouble that I had. I don't know what will come out of it. But I did my aggressiveness as well as I could. By the way, smiling to the people who gave me the forms to fill and everything, because it's not their fault. But it's crazy. I had a ticket to Washington, and I had to pay the difference for the Concorde to be 16 hours late. Right now you're laughing. And that's the kind of attitude that is very good for learning. So, that's nice. I can see that you have teeth. You didn't have before. And you too. And there too. And you will see that unless you show your teeth, you can't laugh. That's right. I referred to your mustache before. And you will see, actually, that anybody who feels that, especially when you do it properly and become aware of it, that you realize that you're actually distorting your face and your breathing in everything in order to appear non-aggressive, which you are, and you should be. That you should learn not to be violent, and therefore, unless you're aggressive, you will be violent whether you want it or not, because you don't know any difference between the two. We don't know. It's not only you. We're all like that. All right, now let's try to do something very funny. Try to make your mouth exactly what it is with most people who are not aggressive. They're just gossiping, dirty witches. It's very sharp lips cut like that. Never show the teeth. But you know, mine next yesterday. She's a very nice person, but you know the people who visit there? And it's what us. And when the husband is away, you know. Yeah. Well, those people who don't show their teeth and their lips are cut like that. They have no passions. They're very, very fine human dirty specimens. Now, I prefer somebody who can bite and tell me, look, I don't like you doing what you're doing. And that's that. Then somebody gossiping in my behind my back, telling my husband that I am frequented by other people when he is away. All right. Now, let's make our mouth small, just like it should be if we were really fine little people. That's right. Try to make the sound of and you will see. Look, do it, don't be ashamed. And you will see that, no, you're not doing it. You're not doing it. You see, people think that E is the smallest mouth. Look, if I say E, no. Now, that's right. And it's, that's the first sucking movement, taking the nipple. You must do that. Try slowly, many times. And try to do it really. You may close your eyes and needn't worry. Nobody will look at you. That's right. Do it a few times to yourself with this sound or not, but make the mouth look. And your eyes, leave them alone. Actually, you'll find that if you do, you open your eyes. Now, they think of that as not so simple. You see, have you seen some, Paul Robson was a nice gentleman with a wonderful voice. But you remember he was a passionate man. He had his ideas, he went to Moscow, he had ideas, he was a passionate man. Like all people must have passion. We have libidos, we have hungers, we have appetites. And passionate men who have the strength to do something for themselves have lips, you see, that are not like that. They have fleshy lips. Look. Now, and fleshy lips cannot exist unless you can show your teeth. Yeah? So now, would you please take with your hands and make the smallest mouth you can, means the nipple mouth, and then with your fingers roll the lower lips to open it, and so as to show the interior of the lip outside, with both hands if you like, just like that. Show the flesh to yourself. No, you're not doing. Look, this is not showing the flesh. You see? And you will see, the older the person is, the more difficult it is for him to make himself do it. Look, take it with both hands and open your lips. Look, open. Even in the fear that your teeth fall out. Open. Show the flesh. And then do the same thing with your alpha. Dick, you see, some have the hell of a job to do it because they have never smiled in their life. That's love. That's good. That's actually the kind of thing we want you to face life with, the laughter, with aggressiveness, not yet you're capable of doing for yourself the best you can in this difficult world. And that without violence, so that your neighbor can also open his mouth and laugh. Now, would you please try to open both lips at the same time? With both hands, do something to show the inside flesh of your mouth. That's right. Can you see how Darwin was right? That when you turn your lips, you see, its aggressiveness is released through laughter, because you find that there is nothing to be afraid of. And that this actually is laughing. And people never laughed are afraid of aggression. And unless they go to have be analyzed, or chew carpets or something like that, they will never get rid of the aggressiveness. And therefore they will always be unable to defend their own interests properly without violence, without being awkward to other people. It's a funny theory. Yeah? Now, try now and see, how wide is your mouth? No, don't open it. Just yeah. Now see what happens if, now make it as wide as you can and see, that's right, you will see that the mouth should go there and the mouth should open so wide that you get tears in your eyes. And that is where people laugh the tears. And you will see that opening the mouth like that actually will make you close your eyes now. And that's why we can laugh until we have tears in our eyes. Use it with your hands. Do it with your hands until you can feel. That's right. And then open and show the inside of the mouth. Open the lips at the same time. Slowly. Well, that's... You cannot appreciate how much good you're doing to yourself by laughing like that while you do that. You will see that by the time you finished, you will get up and feel on top of the world. That's right. Now, look, it's very funny. You find a non-violent word. Whenever I look, I look, see a smile on the face. Look, laughing. Old and young, with beards or without, everybody shows me his teeth and is not afraid. Now, would you now try to do without the hands, make the smallest mouth, the and the widest. And the widest until you laugh unto your ears. That's right. And you see when you laugh unto your ears, you see you screw your eyes up. And if you really laughed like that, you would actually have tears in your eyes. Because you could laugh until you have tears in your eyes. Do it. That's right. You see, people who laugh like that, they probably discovered for the first time that aggressiveness and laughter go together, and it feels good to be able to bite and chew and digest and throw away the useless thing and assimilate what is necessary to make our life easy, comfortable, and productive to ourselves, not to others. But you can't do it because we live in a society, therefore when you do it, you're also productive for your neighbor, and if you're not violent, your aggressiveness is a pleasure to him as it is to you. Because, you see, if you think what Picasso, how many tubes he destroyed, how much paint people made and he smeared it all over the place. Is that aggressiveness or not? You took good paint and smear it on pieces of... And anybody else, whatever you do, aren't we aggressive? It should be like that. But you should be able to laugh while you do it. Now, that being so, would you try now to do something in order to realize that in order to, you will hear, there that lady laughed. That's the kind of laughter which is the one that is proper to human beings. Would you try to do that again? You're there. There, you should hear a person laughing and not giggling. Now, she laughed. How do you do that? How do you laugh so that you can hear that you laugh? No, it's, you can train it. You see, if you do, ha ha ha, that's not laughter. That's imitation laughter. In order to laugh, you have to have your breath and your mouth big so that you can open it and bite an apple really. And you see, to bite, you must be able to introduce at least two fingers in your mouth. You see, most people can't open their mouth to do it. Therefore, you should. Have you ever heard Johnny Weissmuller in Tausen? Or you're too young for that? Have you heard the kind of noise he made? And how far did it carry? Oh, oh, how is it? Oh, oh, ah. No, no. Look, it's a kind of noise that you find, oh, oh. How do you get a noise like that from an old body? How do they say that? You can't do it by saying, hey, 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 how nice it is. That's right. Now, in order to do that, you must become aware of the volume of your mouth. And you will see that all the people who before had their lips like that and never showed their sensuality and their aggressiveness are inhibited, so that it's a pity to see nice people with intelligence, with ability, to do so much injustice to themselves. Now, luckily for you, I'm here to take you out of that job. Luckily for me, not for you, because I think there's nothing which is more socially satisfactory than find a group of people where you can see that in a few hours you give them the dignity of recognizing that they are better than what they came in here for. See? I think that's one of the great pleasures of my life. To find, actually, you will see that with the people who laugh like that, we become friends, and you will see in 2 days that people will find no difficulty to come and tell me their secrets, and I myself, and seek advice, and feel a friendly, human, aggressive relationship without violence. What do you think of that? Now, how do we get that mouth so that we can feel, that we can say, yo! Creep! Whoa! Is that loud enough, or should be loud? You see, you can't make noises like that. Company! Hey! You can't do it unless you know the volume of your mouth. How do we do that? Because if you don't, you will find that what comes out is... That tears your throat away. Now watch, if this is your palate and here are your teeth, means actually you can't say yours, because my palate and my teeth are built the same way. It means that our palates and our teeth and the larynx is here. Now you see, if the palate, if we don't know the shape of the palate, is openness and is lent clearly in our mind, then look what happens. Now, look at the same thing. Look, the larynx is depressed. Now, look at the same. Now how, that's not enough to shout. Now, because many people don't dare to do it. Why can't they do it? No? Can you, did you hear? It's like a bark.